Psalmbooks again and turn to number 587 at Calvary. Shall we stand together and sing the first and the last 587?
Years I spent in vanity. are thrilled to have the Miller family with us today, and we're going to ask them to come and sing a few now. They're going to sing a couple more later, and tonight we're going to have a full concert, so we hope that you'll return. It'll be a wonderful blessing to you, folks.
Well, the children are going to sing Turn the Tide with me, and about, I don't know when exactly it was, last year we were out in California, and we received a phone call at 6 in the morning, bright and early, and I think we were barely awake, but my husband answered, and it was Pastor Doug McLean, and he was calling from over here on this side of the country, of course, and all excited about this youth conference that was going on, and he just had to share with us how the Lord was using Turn the Tide to really touch some young people's hearts, and we were just thrilled about that. And you know, I wrote the song, of course, with my country in mind, the United States, but we love Canada, and we have many friends here, and we would love to see the Lord do a work in all of North America and just work a wonderful revival. And so as we sing this song, we just hope that you'll join with us in praying for revival all across North America. When America was founded, she was strong and pure and good, and her leaders on their knees were not ashamed to call on God. But our nation in her pride has turned her back upon the right, and the clouds of evil threaten to turn glory into night. Strong wickedness has crept in like a cold and bloody thief. Those who know the Lord and do His word stand by in disbelief. For the love of God and country, we must not cease for a day. For the future of our children, we must lift our hearts and pray. Turn the tide, Lord, turn the tide. Open wide the floodgates of your power. we've been working on a new CD, actually two of them. I'm producing a new one with many of my new songs, and then the children are working on one. And this next song is one of those that we're working on. Hopefully by the fall of this year, we'll have it ready, and you can find it on our website there.
Troubles pile up, just like a mountain you can't climb. When you're discouraged, seems like you're falling all the time. When you're down and out, and you start to doubt, that's the time to find a place to raise your hands and shout, my God is greater than all these things. He's in control. He lifts my soul until my spirit sings. My God is greater. When disillusionment sets in, when you're downhearted, feeling like you can never win, when it all seems lost, is it worth the cost? That's the time to turn your mind and face the
books again. We're going to sing another song, just give the family a little bit of a break, and they're going to come and sing a couple more. Number 417. Let's stand and stretch this morning. 417, face to face.
Christ.
first asked the Millers if they'd be willing to come, I thought we were getting a soloist. That's all I'd ever heard on the CD that I had, and I thought we were getting a soloist. And a couple weeks ago, I heard that we were getting the family, too. And I've been to those things where they roll out their kids, and you go, ugh, that was fantastic, though, wasn't it? And their kids are very talented. I was kind of hoping, I'm going to be honest, when Daniel got up, I was hoping that 6'9" body would have a high, squeaky voice, because I just thought that'd be funny. But man, he can get down. He drew mud. Amen. That was good. And so appreciate that. And girls, you did such a great job. We're going to have you come again and sing for us.
But tonight we will definitely have all of the children up there to sing. This song we actually were talking with Pastor and his wife about yesterday, and we like to call it the preacher's song. And it's about Uriah. And, you know, I knew the story since the time I was a little child about David and Bathsheba and Uriah, but it wasn't until I was older that I was reading one day in the Bible just through the list of David's mighty men, and there at the very bottom of the list is Uriah the Hittite, and it just struck me that, you know, we know Uriah the Hittite as the husband of Bathsheba that was murdered, but before that, he was one of David's very close confidants, one of his mighty men, one of the recognized soldiers in David's army. And yet David was willing to sacrifice that because of his sin. And it just really spoke to me about faithful soldiers that need to be upheld in the battle, as we were going through a trial at that same time. And so that's really where this song came from. And I hope it'll bless your heart.
Uriah was a mighty man of valor. He was strong and he was brave and he was true. He had won so many battles. He was faithful to the end, until the day he met betrayal at the hand of a trusted friend. Uriah pressed forward, Uriah pressed hard, and he was strong in the battle for the Lord. But when the enemy was nearest and the fighting grew too hot, the army withdrew and Uriah was lost. Fighting in a fearsome battle, we must be strong, we must be brave, we must be true. But after all so many battles, when a brother gets a wound, do we blame him 'cause he's careless? Do we leave him all too soon? The soldier pressed forward, the soldier pressed hard, and he was strong in the battle for the Lord. And when the enemy was nearest and the fighting grew too hot, the army withdrew and the soldier was lost. There are soldiers all around us who have fallen. They were strong and they were brave and they were true. But now because they're weak and wounded, we turn our hearts to sin.
Well, this next song is really our best-known song, I Can Go In, and it came from a sermon illustration by Charles Spurgeon that a friend sent to me several years ago, and I was able to turn it into this song. And last year, we were able to travel all across the West all year long, and we started down in Arizona, and we were at a very small church down in Chino Valley, Arizona, and singing this song. And there was a man sitting about the middle of the congregation towards the back, and you know, if I had seen him just walk in off the street, I would have thought, oh, he's a visitor. You know, he had tattoos up and down his arms and just had that world-beaten appearance. And yet during this song, he had his arms up in the air and his tears were streaming down his face. And so I thought, well, there has to be a story here. And so after the service, he came up and just told me about his life. And he said he had spent, I don't remember how many years, 23 years or something like that, in jail. And in and out of trouble. And finally, one day in jail, someone came and told him about the Lord Jesus and how he could be saved. And just to look at him, the joy shining in his eyes really outweighed all the other things about his appearance as he told me how the Lord had saved him. And he was telling me also that at that time he was going to the juvenile centers and trying to win young people to Christ and help them to get their lives on track. And I shared this testimony a few weeks ago in Pennsylvania, and one of the men there was an evangelist, and he came up afterwards to tell us that he knew this man that I was talking about in Chino Valley. And he said, I just have to tell you that about 8 months ago, he passed away. And so now he's not singing, I can go in. He's singing, I'm here, I'm in. And so praise the Lord for that. And we're just thankful for how the Lord used the song. And I'm thankful that I know because of what Jesus has done for me that I'm going to be able to go in to those gates one day. And I hope that you can say that as well.
Beside the gate of heaven, waiting to go in, and he wondered how this holy place could take a man like him. With shouts of great rejoicing and with music, then they came. Of the angels standing by him, he asked what could be their name. These are the
You preach after a song like that. What a message. And I hope you got the message of that song. And if you don't know if you can go in, you need to be saved today. And what a wonderful privilege to know Jesus Christ. And I hope tonight that you'll come. There's people watching by internet and things. I hope that you'll come here tonight. Don't just watch at home. I know that's convenient and that's easy. We've got air conditioning here too. And so come and be a part of our service. And I have Jing Batok Jr. lived with us for a year, and he's told me that on Monday morning, they're 13 hours ahead of us in the Philippines, that they'll sometimes get up and watch our service. I don't think he'll make it, but the rest of you can probably make it, all right? So you come, and if I know Jing, he's wishing he was here, and he enjoys good music. Well, we appreciate that so much. Tonight, we're looking forward to a great service. You want to come and just have a great time together tonight. Brother Paul Miller is going to be preaching to us from the Word of God, and he's going to come. And what we're going to do, we're going to do a little bit different. We're going to preach. We're just going to have a couple songs. We're going to preach. And then we're just going to relax and enjoy a concert, some music. And so you say, why do you do that? Well, you know, sometimes visitors come, and as soon as the music's over, they slip out the door. We don't want them to do that. We want them to hear the gospel preaching. And they'll hear the message. We'll have an invitation just like always. And then we'll just relax and enjoy some good music from the entire Miller family. We're going to need a bigger stage. We'll work on that this afternoon. But we'll get them all up here. And we're just going to have a great time in the house of God. Did you enjoy that? Amen. I'm going to warn the Millers right now. When Canadians smile, they're shouting inside. All right, they lose their voices during the hockey season, and then they don't have anything left for church. But we're working on that, and let's take your Bibles this morning. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. You know, we're looking at our summer series for Sunday mornings right now, Standing on the Promises. And God has burdened my heart about preaching on some of the promises of God throughout the summer, and I was glad for that. I'm excited. I like hearing about the promises of God and the things that God has prepared for us. Last Sunday, we just talked about the promises, the great and precious promises from 1 Peter chapter 2, and how God is a God of His Word. He is not a man that He can lie. And so we can trust in the promises of God. And so this morning, I had thought all week and prayed all week, what promise will we start with? I thought there's some easy ones. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Everybody would like to hear that again. And come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a great promise. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. But you know, I'm so thankful that as we've just heard that song about how we can go to heaven, if we are saved by faith and justified by faith and know Jesus Christ, the Lord led me to preach from 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have sinned not, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let me say, just before we make our prayer this morning, the first promise of the Bible that any sinner can ever claim is the forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. And if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's one of the most wonderful promises in the Word of God. Let's pray together. Father, help us as we look at the Word of God today and we look at this important promise. This promise that is made not just to the saved, but also to the sinner. That if we will come to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and trust him and cast our cares upon him, the Bible says he has taken our sins, he became sin for us. And he was nailed to the cross. So Lord, help us to understand how we can be forgiven today. Father, I pray that you'd empower me with thy Holy Spirit. I need your help today, and may the Spirit of God speak to each heart and life. Help us today to bring us back tonight faithfully, Lord, that we might enjoy fellowship one with another. We might enjoy the preaching of God's word. Empower Brother Paul tonight as he preaches. And be with the entire Miller family as they minister to us in music. Father, we're looking forward to a great day in your house. Bless us now, we pray, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I really was praying about this, and I was asking the Lord, what is an important promise? Lord, there's so many. If we were going to preach the promises of the Bible, let's be honest, it'd have to be more than a summer series. For God has given us so much to look forward to and so much to be thankful for. But I really believe as I prayed, God settled my heart upon this one promise of the Bible as one of the greatest promises, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. I'm so glad to know that no matter what I do, I can go to my Father. I might be ashamed to admit it to others. I might want to hide my face. Have you ever seen somebody on the news that's coming out of a courthouse and they try to hide their face and cover their face? They're ashamed of what they have done. They don't want to embarrass their family, perhaps publicly. But I'm so thankful that I have a Heavenly Father that loves me and paid the price for my sin. And I can go to Him at any time and I can confess my sin. And He is faithful and just to forgive me. And listen, when Jesus forgives me, he does more than just forgives. We're going to look at that later on. But he also has the ability to separate it as far as the east is from the west. He can bury it in the deepest sea. He says, I will remember it no more. He has blotted it out from his memory. It doesn't say that God has forgotten. I don't believe that God has the ability to forget anything. But he chooses, because he loves me, not to remember it any longer. So we have this promise in the Word of God. My Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That tells me that this promise is available not just to the saved, but also to the sinner. There are some promises in the Bible that are just for the saved, just for the church. They were written to the churches at Ephesus and Philippi, Colossae, and different promises that were given. And we understand when Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, he was talking to a saved people. But friends, if you don't know Christ today, and you're wondering in your heart, am I part of that group that can go in, that can enter into the gates of heaven? I want to tell you today that you can find forgiveness in Jesus Christ. If you'll just simply come to him in repentance and confess your sins, you can be born again today. That's the wonderful thing about this promise, is it's available to anybody. If Christ is going to save us from our sins, he had to satisfy the justice of God in the process. There was a penalty for sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. He had to satisfy that. So he took upon himself the sins of the world, and he was made sin for us. And he took our place when he died on the cross. If you'll just simply come, he'll forgive you. What about that sin problem? Are we perfect? No, we're still flesh after we got saved. We sin, Paul said, and I'm summarizing the things I should be doing, I'm not doing, the things I shouldn't be doing, I am doing. Oh, wretched man that I am. He struggled, and he warred with the flesh. And he said the carnal mind is enmity against God, and we are flesh and we are carnal, and so we battle. And I want to tell you, if you want to be refreshed, just accept this promise, confess your sin, and find mercy and grace in the eyes of the Savior. I want you to notice some things today that we can find in the Scripture, how this promise can be so real to us in our lives. You know, it's sad, and I'm going to be honest with you, I can remember as a child praying about the same thing over and over. Have you ever done that? Maybe you told a lie or you did something you shouldn't have done. And I was teasing Rob the other day, and he was talking about something about he didn't like high school. Or I don't think he went to school the last 2 years. Somehow he graduated. He built the school and stuff. That's what he did. And I said, you know, if the kid sitting beside you had done better in school, you'd got into a better college. Amen? Sometimes that's how we feel. If, you know, maybe we cheated or we lied or we did something and we get thinking about that thing. And I can remember as a child and thinking, maybe I told a lie and I said, Lord, please forgive me for that. I shouldn't have done that. And it bothered me because I understood very clearly the wages of sin is death. And even for a child of God, the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And I can remember being fearful over, and I'd pray, and then 10 minutes later, I'd pray again, and 10 minutes later, I'd pray again. And I'd sometimes, if it was something bad enough, I'd lay in bed thinking about it and praying over and over again. And then somebody, one day in Sunday school, I remember hearing this verse, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, the devil would love to remind you of your sin over and over again. Claim this promise. I wonder how many times God has said, what sin are you talking about? I don't remember it anymore. It's under the blood. I've chosen to forget. First thing I want you to notice is the availability of this promise. We've talked some about that a little bit. But this epistle of 1 John was what they call a general epistle. As a matter of fact, most of your Bibles probably say the first epistle, general of John. And that's what mine says. And what that means is that it went around to different churches and it was to be read in different churches. And just the same as it is today. We open our Bibles and we read them in church. And so it was written to the saved. The Bible says in chapter 2 and verse 1, my little children. He's referring there to those that are a part of the family of God. This promise is available today if you're saved. Listen, the Bible says in verse 10 of chapter 1, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. The Bible is talking to saved people. Listen, as long as we are flesh and blood, we will have a sin problem. But I'm thankful today that we can take it to our Savior who will forgive us. It's unfortunate the world's not so forgiving sometimes. Sometimes we will sin and our friends will remember, our mates will remind us, our children will bring it up before us. But listen, we have a Father who will wipe it away from his memory. That promise is available to you. But you know, my Bible also says, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God was to send his Son, Jesus Christ, to provide a way to satisfy the justice of God, but also to provide forgiveness for our sins. From the time he was born, the Bible tells us that his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Listen, if you need forgiveness today, whether you're saint or sinner, you can come to Jesus, and you will find it in him. This promise is available to the entire world. I want you to take a little time now. We're going to spend a little time on this next point. What are the aspects of this promise? What are some things we need to know about this promise? Well, here's what this promise will do for you. First of all, they all start with the letter R. I like doing that sometimes. It helps us remember. The first word is release. It releases us. It sets us free. I can't tell you how much it helped me to know when my Sunday school teacher taught me that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and he is just, and we are released from the bond of that sin. We are no longer held under account of it. God doesn't remember it anymore, and he releases us from this. That word forgive in the Bible in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, it literally means this. It means to send away. To bid going away or depart, to send forth, to yield up, to expire, to let go, to let alone, to let be, to disregard, to leave, to not to discuss it any longer, to let go, to give up a debt, to forgive, to remit. How many ways can God say it? In that one word, it's all tied up. I don't want to talk about it anymore. You're released from it. You know, sometimes I remember years ago in Port Dover, there was a fellow that got out of jail. And our boss hired him. And he had been over here at, this is Sprucedale. Is it still called Sprucedale, the boys' correctional? And so he was just a young man. He was only about 18, and our boss hired him to work there. And I remember one of the older ladies at the cash register, she was pretty nervous about it. And the boss told him one night, he said, "Now listen, here's what I want you to do at night." He says, "I get nervous." He says, these little ladies, we had two little old ladies. I mean, they were about 70 years old each. And he says, "I'm just nervous about them carrying all that money from there to the back to the office. I don't want them somebody to try to take it from them." He said, "I don't want them to get hurt." He says, "So I would like for you to take that money, that tray of money, and I want you to..." Well, those two ladies didn't like that. They knew that he had been in Sprucedale. They knew that he had been in trouble. And so they went to him, the two of them together one night, and they said, "We don't like that at all. If there's money missing from that till, we're going to get blamed because you're going to think we shortchanged it. But this young man, we don't trust him. And he says, "Listen, he has not paid his debt. He has been released." And he says, "And I forgive him." You know, that's what our Heavenly Father has done for us. The debt has been paid. Jesus Christ shed his blood. And he's forgiven us. And we've been released. The second word I want you to think about when we think about the aspects of this promise is the word restoration. That's what the word cleanse means. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word restoration or the word cleanse means to cleanse from impurity, to pronounce clean in a Levitical sense. In other words, the great high priest has said, "You're clean. You're restored." This word is used in the Old Testament, the word cleanse, when it's talking about a leper. In Leviticus chapter 14, we see that the lepers would go to the priest, and the priest was to observe their body and make sure that the deterioration had stopped and that the disease was in check. And if it was so, they would make an offering unto the Lord of thanks, and then the priest would pronounce him clean. Do you know that from that point on, nobody else in the camp was ever allowed to say he was unclean? Nobody else was ever to say, "We're staying away from him, we're fearful of the leprosy," or they would be punished. Because when the priest says you're clean, you're clean. That's what the Bible says this word cleanse means. When Jesus Christ, our great high priest, says you're clean, nobody else can say you're unclean. You remember Romans chapter 8? "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died." Nobody else has a hold over you. Only Christ can declare us clean. The third thing is this, he remembers no more. Turn to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, the Bible says in verse 12, we're talking about the aspects of this promise. Why would I want to claim this promise? Well, it'll give you release from your sins. You're forgiven. It'll cleanse you from your sins. You're restored. And also that God remembers no more. Romans chapter 8, in verse 12, the Bible says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Look at chapter 10, just turn over a page or two, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. The Bible says, and reminds us, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25 says this, "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins." I remember in Sunday school singing a little chorus, and I can't remember it all, but I remember, is Roger Corbett here? Is Roger here? I don't see him. Roger was helping in our class, and I was just a little guy. And we sang that song, "Gone, gone, 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 yes, my sins are gone." Remember that chorus? I can't remember all the words anymore, but I remember those words. "Yes, my sins are gone." Talking about buried in the deepest sea. And Roger, we used to love watching Roger because he'd go, "Gone, gone, gone, gone." He just bounced with that song. He just loved that song. I remember we'd sing that, and Roger just bounced. "Gone, our sins are gone. They're buried in the deepest sea. You ask me why I'm happy, because I'll just tell you why, because my sins are gone." Now, I like that third verse there. When Satan comes to tempt me and tries to make me doubt, I just say, "My sins are gone." We're released, we're set free. Jesus says, "I remember them no more." Here's the fourth thing. This promise renders us righteous. Right with God. Right before God. Romans chapter 8. Turn there if you will. Romans chapter 8. If you're awake this morning, say amen. I think that humidity has knocked some people out. Romans chapter 8. Or maybe we froze you out with the air conditioning this morning. Isn't that nice? Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Do you know what the word justifieth means? Declared righteous. Made right with God. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But further than that, friend, He justifies us. He declares us righteous before God. When God looks at me, He doesn't see my sin. He sees me clothed in the righteousness of Christ. That's the promise of God. Read on in verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, for we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. I want to tell you today, when the Satan comes to accuse you of anything, I want you to just open up your Bible and read this right back to that old serpent. Say, who are you to accuse me of anything? Christ died for me, and Christ has forgiven me. The fifth thing is this, He redeems us. He redeems us. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Titus chapter 2, look at verse 13. I'm sorry, I've got the wrong verse. I got it. I got the wrong verse. I'm sorry. Wrote it down wrong. But Christ redeems us. You're going to have to trust me on that one, all right? How many of you know that Christ redeems you? Amen? You say, what does the word redeem mean? It means He purchased us. We were bound by sin. But the moment I confessed my sins and I got right with the Lord, He purchased me from that slave market. Are we bound by sin any longer? No, sometimes we feel like we're slaves to sin. Sometimes we get bound by things that we shouldn't be bound by. But Christ redeems us and makes us His own. Here's the sixth thing, He removes. Psalm chapter 103, verse 12. You can look there with me. Psalm chapter 103, verse 12. And while you're turning there, let me read. Actually, just go ahead and turn to Micah. Book of Micah. That's in the back where the pages stick together. Book of Micah. Psalms 103, verse 12 says this, as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. You see, why the east from the west and not from the north to the south? Because when you get to the north, you start going south again. But when you start going east, you just keep going east. It never stops. There's no pole. So think about that. How strong is God? How many of you remember? I'm going to date some of you. How many of you remember watching Bugs Bunny? Who's going to admit it? Come on, Miss Britton, put your hand up. No. Bugs Bunny. How many of you remember those episodes? I mean, every cartoon was the same, wasn't it? Roadrunner getting an anvil dropped on his head. And Bugs Bunny be going somewhere, and he says, I took a wrong turn in Albuquerque. I mean, that was every episode. But I remember the one where he took a baseball, and he threw that thing. You remember he threw that baseball, and it went all the way around the earth? And it'd come back, and it'd have postcard pictures or passport stamps all over from all over the world. Well, what if the Lord took our sin like that, and He started throwing it toward the east? Is it still going? And how far is it going? There's no stopping point. If you go to the north, you start going south again. You go to the south, you start going north again. But if you throw it to the east, it's as far removed as the east from the west is, the Bible says. He's removed our sin. Look, if you will, in Micah chapter 7, verse 18. The Bible says, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins" where? "Into the depths of the sea." How many of you heard a song? There's about 100 of them. "In the depths of the sea of God's forgetfulness," or "thrown into the sea of forgetfulness." Comes from this verse right here. God will bury our sins in the depths of the sea as far as he removes them from our lives. That's the aspect. Is this promise worth claiming? Absolutely. He releases us. He restores us. He remembers them no more. He renders us righteous. He redeems us and removes our sin. That's the aspects. What's the accessibility? See, how can I grab this promise? How can I get in on this deal? You ever see those telemarketers or not the TV guys, whatever they do? And they say, "But wait, there's more." And they're selling some chopper or something, you know, chops vegetables. And you know that no sense buying it because it'll be at everybody's yard sale next summer. And just get it for a dime. It's one of those deals. But listen, you sit there on the edge and you say, "Man, does that thing ever chop them? Look at how it chops them vegetables. Man, I'm going to be losing 50 pounds if I buy that little thing that cuts vegetables." They made a knife a long time ago. I don't know if you knew that. It does the same thing. Just takes. And as a matter of fact, you'll get more exercise and probably lose more weight if you use the knife. Hey, bud? Listen, you're sitting there and you're, "Well, wait, where's the number?" Just wait a minute. We'll give you the number. And you're just waiting with baiting. Listen, maybe you're wondering today, how can I claim this promise? What do I have to do? It's this simple. If we confess. That's it. If we confess our sins, that's all you have to do. Do you know, you notice in the scripture there, it never says, "Tell God you're sorry." You notice that? Because you're forgiven so quick you don't have time. If you'll just confess your sins to him. The word confess means to agree together with. Doesn't mean you say, "Well, I got a confession to make." You can make up whatever you want. You can candy coat it. You can sugar coat it. You can soft soap it. You can do whatever you want if you're confessing. The word confess means I'm agreeing. In other words, when the Holy Spirit says, "Hey, you did something," you go, "Yes, sir, I did. I agree with you 100%. The Holy Spirit's working in your heart and said, "Hey, you're off track here. You're wrong." And you just bow your head and said, "Yes, that's right. I'm wrong. I've sinned. I've fallen short of the glory of God once again." That's what confession is agreeing with God. I told you about the lady that had a Bible in Hamilton, and she says, "Is it the same as my Bible?" I said, "I'm not sure. What kind of Bible do you have?" And she says, "Well, my Bible scared me. I had to cut things out of it." I said, "If your Bible scared you, ours is going to terrify you." Listen, I said, "When I find something in here that I don't like, it's not the Bible that's wrong. That's when I have to stop and confess and say, Lord, you're right. I'm falling short right there." But when that still small voice comes and whispers in my ear, I have to say, "Yes, I'm wrong. Lord, forgive me." That's confessing. Agreeing with God. Listen, I'm so tired of the world saying that when we take a stand against homosexual marriage or abortion that we are morally wrong. Who are they to set the standard? God sets the standard. And we need to confess that he is right. And we need to agree with his standard of holiness and righteousness. Now, am I going to achieve that? No, we're not perfect. We're sinners. But every time I see it, I need to agree with it. That's confessing. Coming to the Lord and saying, "I've fallen short of your standard. I'm not where I should be." And the Bible says, he'll agree, and he'll forgive us, and he'll cleanse us. It's just that simple. You say, "How can I get this?" Just confess. Just come to him. Do you know what that takes? It takes a little bit of humility, doesn't it? How many of you like admitting you're wrong? You know? Sometimes I'll say, my wife will say something. I say, "Oh, you know what? I think you're right." She'll say, "How'd that taste coming out of your mouth?" I should have listened. Somebody told me a long time ago, just say yes, dear, and you'll be fine. But you know, the truth is we don't like if we have some sort of disagreement, and then we find out, "Oh, yeah, they were right. I hope they don't read the same article I just read. I don't want them to know they're right." Well, that's our pride. Humble yourself before the Lord. Confess. That's how you claim this promise. Come to him. And then let me give you one more thing. We've talked about the availability. We've talked about the aspects. We've talked about the accessibility. Let me give you the assurance. He is faithful and just. You say, well, I don't know if that works, preacher. My wife was counseling a lady a while ago. She doesn't come to church here. And she told my wife, she says, if you tell me to pray about it one more time. And she got all angry. My wife came home and said, I guess our counseling session's done. That's the promises of God. You can't, somebody got mad because we said, well, you need to pray about that. What do you mean pray about that? They got mad because our advice was pray. How are we going to claim the promise? Listen, he is faithful and true. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He knows the beginning from the end. He is Alpha and Omega. We can trust him. And when he says, I am faithful and just, you can believe it. You'll remember last week in our introduction, before we talked about any promises, I said, you need to remember this one thing. Remember who's giving the promise. Remember the one that is saying, this is what I have for you. You can trust the promises of God. Listen, let me give you this assurance today. If you're not saved today, you can come to Jesus and he shall in no wise cast you out. He wants to save you today. You can put your faith and trust in him and you can believe in the finished work of Calvary, that he shed his blood and paid the price for your sin, not his. He had none. And he became your substitute. And if you will just by simple faith come to him and confess that he is right and repent of your sin and repent of your ways. You know, a lot of times it's not sin that we have a problem with. It's repenting of our way, trusting ourselves to get to heaven, trusting in works to get to heaven, trusting in religion to get us to heaven. No, repent of that. And trust in Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And this promise can be yours today. Maybe you're already saved and you're struggling with sin. You're wondering, why does it constantly plague me? This promise can be yours if you'll just reach out and confess. Come to him on your knees and humbly bow your hearts before God. And let me give you this assurance. He is faithful and just. You know, let me ask you this. How many of you in this room have been saved for over 50 years? Raise your hand. Look around you, folks. Keep your hands up. Just look around. You've been saved for over 50 years. All right. Put your hands down. I'm just asking those people, has God ever lied to you? Any one of you? Has he ever let you down? Has he ever balked at a promise? The testimony of God's people. But you know what? I have a more sure word of prophecy. I have the testimony of God himself that he is faithful and true. Let's pray. Father, help us to understand. Speak to our hearts today. Father, maybe there's somebody here today that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Would you show them the way, the truth, and the life? Show them Jesus Christ. Allow us to take a Bible and show them what it means to have eternal life. Maybe there's some Christians here today that just need to be refreshed. They need that cleansing once again. And so, Father, I pray that you would point them in the right direction as well. Help them to find this altar. Help them to find a place where they can humble themselves before you and confess. And Father, we'll give you thanks and praise for your wonderful promise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand today, this morning, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.